Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? What a great episode we have for you today, the SDR Show. It is Phil Collin of Def Leppard, literally a legendary guitarist, super cool dude, and just great to talk to. Really fascinating interview. We're doing the show twice a week, if you didn't know, every Wednesday, every Saturday, live on Gas Digital, which happens 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then 5 days later, it comes out with advertising and sometimes maybe even edited to the rest of the world. So maybe go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. And if you use the code SDR, you get a 1 week free trial. If you're listening to this on July 4th weekend when it comes out, you can access the entire network the entire weekend, every episode ever in HD, commercial free. And if you subscribe for a year during July 4th weekend, you will get a cool limited edition Gas Digital Frisbee. It's really cool. We're only making a certain amount of them. They will not be available anywhere else. But here it is right now, the Phil Collin of Def Leppard episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the host. It's weed, I beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton, back once again, James Mattern, which, dude, you now hold the record most times someone else has co-hosted the show, so congratulations.
Yo, man, I got the silver medal finally. I'm coming for you, Jay. 2021, I'm coming for the gold, dog.
And Shannon, of course, back in there, which, by the way, James just said off air that your camera's better than mine, which really is upsetting to me. We are going to tell the story first, Phil. I don't, I'll tell you this. I used to be a strip club DJ, right? Yeah. And for years, girls would get mad that I didn't remember them, right? It's like, oh, we worked together for 6 months. How'd you not remember me? And I would always say, I'm one DJ. There was 100 girls. How do you expect me to remember every girl, right? So in the same respect, you do thousands of interviews. Why would you remember me, right? So I used to do a radio show called The Tour Bus that was on about 80 stations around the country. And I just want to start with this story. So Def Leppard, I think it was when X came out. I could be wrong on the timing, but you guys are doing PNC Bank Garden Center, sold out. You and I are backstage doing an interview. You'd been on the show a few times, you and Joe together, a bunch of times interviewed you guys, right? But this is the first time I was using now this amazing technology of a phone with a mic plugged into it. It was like the first time I was doing things digitally. It's like, oh my God, this is like, you know, 18 years ago, something like that. And 5 minutes into the interview, we did 20 minutes of an interview. But I realized, because I'd never done it before, after 2 or 3 minutes, when the screen went blank, the recording stopped. And I didn't know this. And they come to get you and say, Phil, you know, you guys are going to go on stage. You got to go. I'm like, I said, look, dude, thank you anyway, whatever. And you say to your handler at the backstage, well, how much time do we have? And he said, you're going on in like 10 minutes. He's like, all right, let's do 10 more minutes. And you gave me 10 more minutes, and I'm bringing this up here. Hold on. Ah. You signed this for me. There's only 8 of these in the world. All of you signed this that day, and I've cherished it forever just to show you are a cool fucking dude. There we go. That's how we're starting it.
Thank you. I remember that. It was kind of in a tent.
It was in a tent. Right. Yes.
There you go.
Wow. Holy shit. And by the way, just to add a little sauce to it, we have the same water bottle. I've been watching your videos.
You know, I've upgraded to an old tangerine juice bottle and just
your wife bought that. Why'd you throw it out?
Well, it's still around. My son's got it. He's taken it. He actually drinks out of it all the time. So yeah.
Okay, but I just want to say that, you know, you guys, Def Leppard, the, you know, one of the biggest bands ever, and the fact that you decided to give me an extra 10 minutes because I fucked up, it just shows what cool guys you are. And I've often said people don't realize how influential Def Leppard is. And what I mean by that is, forget about the record sold and all that other stuff, which, of course, that's obvious. But the amount of bands that have told me Def Leppard is the reason why, forget about they got into it, but you guys act as their, I don't know, consultants? Like, you're always helping out bands, giving them advice. You produced a Tesla record. Joe worked with, bands that have been on the show over and over again, constantly saying, well, thanks to Def Leppard, we used to call them and they'd give us advice. They were the guys we would look to.
Very cool. Well, that's nice to know, actually. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's nice. You guys have been around for quite some time.
Yeah.
So now, let's start with this. Obviously, everyone was thrilled about the biggest lineup tour that in a long time, Def Leppard, Motley, Poison, Joan Jett, was going to be, I think, in 2020, then moved to 21, and now officially moved to 2022. A, how much does that break your heart? You got to wait 2 years. And B, how much of a clusterfuck is it to have to move it?
So, if you've done a partial tour, that would be way more of a clusterfuck. Because, you know, some states have opened, some it's 30% capacity. You wouldn't be able to do that. So I think it's good that the whole thing got moved to next year again. But the real drag was when initially we had the biggest tour we've ever done. Like, you know, the tickets were, it was, stadiums were selling out before they even released them to the public.
Wow.
So we were like, this is fucking awesome. And then it's like, oh, there's this weird virus.
This is not as awesome.
I could see it coming. It's like, yeah. So it didn't surprise me because, you know, life is like that. You go, man, that sucks. So it did. It got moved twice. So we're really good. I'm really thrilled about it. I mean, I'm good to go now. But I actually played the other night with Chaka Khan, which was fucking awesome.
So talk a little bit about it. That was on my list. We'll jump to that right now. You were performing for the Black Girls Rock fundraiser live stream.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Well, like, first of all, did you know Chaka Khan already? Like, how did this get together?
Now, Beverly Bond has got this thing that she created years ago called Black Girls Rock, and it's empowerment for women of color, girls of color that mm-hmm. don't get a say, you know, anything from like inner city or poverty, whatever, whatever. It's hard enough for a woman. And it's even worse for a black woman growing up and all these other things. So they just give a voice and they give empowerment and they give inspiration to young women of color. I'm a father of three black girls. You know, I have three daughters. Their mums are black. They're considered black women or little mm-hmm. girls, you know. So it's close to me. My wife is black. So all of this stuff. So I've known Beverly and my wife Helen has worked with her for years. This come about and it's like, well, we're getting some acts and it'd be great if you play guitar with Chaka. I was like, oh my God, she's one of my idols. So
right. that's great. I know that your wife's family lives in Brooklyn or lived in Brooklyn. I don't know if they still do, but I saw you once in Brooklyn. I just didn't feel right coming up and saying hi because... You know, by the way, James, the first time I interviewed Def Leppard, it's Phil and Joe. My opening question was, all right, you're going to be sick of answering this question, I'm sure, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Which one of you have the biggest penis in the band? And they all pointed to Rick Allen. I just would like to make you all know that was the story. I don't know if it's still true now, but that was the truth.
I mean, how does that work as you get older? Does it shrivel up?
I don't know. And also, I don't think Vivian was in the band at the time, so I'm not sure. Maybe it's changed. Who knows? I don't know.
January 1st, they get together and just measure. Okay, yeah. You still got it, Rick. All right, we'll see you in a year for another measure. I mean, what
before they kick off every tour.
A dick off, yeah. I guess so. Yeah, we haven't done that for a while, so I guess, yeah, with you, you know. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, right before the new tour. Get Motley, get everyone involved. Let's get them
You don't want Tommy Lee on that,
that
ruler.
You can't compete with that, right? Yeah.
And also in the thing that I was saying before about you guys always helping out other bands, we had the Struts on not that long ago, and you guys did you and Joe did backup or singing on one of the Struts' new songs.
Yeah, I played a solo and done some guitar on one of the songs. It was awesome. Yeah, they're great.
Such a cool band, right? Yeah. Just a good bunch of guys. I read online that you guys wrote the next Def Leppard album during quarantine. Is that correct?
We write all the time. So we got shitloads of stuff all the time. Me and Joe, you know, at the new COVID thing, and we're back and forth sending files and songs. So yeah, we're always writing.
I mean, for guys that write all the time, your albums come out once every 6-7 years. I don't know how prolific that is.
Well, there's always stuff being written. It's getting the shit out and getting everyone to record it. That's the problem, you know.
Right.
Yeah, we're getting there. It's all really great. Really excited.
Because the last record, I think, broke the record for the longest time between records, right? I think when Def Leppard self-titled came out from Sparkle Lounge, that was the longest distance. But now we're on six years, I think.
That's crazy, yeah. Who thought that we'd be... I definitely didn't think I'd be floating around 63. I'll be 64 by the time we get on tour. It's like,
by the way, I think it's rare to see you with the shirt on, so thanks for putting the shirt on.
I'm going to take it off halfway through. But yeah.
When did you start realizing that you were the poster child, so to speak, for rock and roll, you know, what do you want to call it, royalty or the older generation guys that can still have your shirt off and still have a six pack and still look great? And you're the guy that everyone looks at for, okay, he's been vegan 35 years. He still works out like an animal. Look at Shannon perk up because he's been vegan for 35 years. When did you notice the other rock stars, I imagine, come to you often because you're in better shape than guys half your age, where they ask you for advice? Like, when did that start happening?
I noticed the difference of attention when I started looking a bit different. I started training just different things. I've had some great trainers in over the years, you know, just like kickboxing trainers, weight trainers, whatever, you know. And that's when that kicked off, and I noticed that just I was getting a different kind of attention and started feeling amazing. That's the thing. It's like, it's all fine and dandy doing all this shit if you don't feel great. I actually feel amazing. I honestly nothing aches.
Well, didn't you? Because we both had, you had, I learned that inside elbow is what I heard.
Yes.
And that's called golf elbow. You had tennis elbow injury.
But this one, it's only just going now. So I'm still having to, you know, adjust my workouts.
Right.
But yeah. And you can do it. I done it at LAX once. I lifted up a bag and went hyperextended tennis elbow for 9 months. And it's usually about a 9 month period.
Yeah. Are you vegan ethically or vegan healthy or both?
Ethically. Because I research everything I eat and I go, wow, this, if I eat this, I feel great. If I don't drink this, if I drink less of this and balance it with this, I feel great. So I base it on that. But initially it was because I actually threw up once, or nearly threw up, when I ate scrambled eggs and it's like, just everyone goes, oh yeah, but eggs, don't fuck it. Tell my body that. My body was going, I can't do this.
So you didn't throw up because, oh my God, I'm ingesting unborn chickens. Something about didn't agree with your system.
I think it was that. I think that there was a unborn chicken thing said to the rest of my body, dude, no.
Get him out.
All right. Yeah.
Because I know, I mean, you've been vegan for so long, but really the six-packy, ridiculously in shape guy is maybe 10 years ago. Is that about right? Right? Is that about right?
Yeah.
So even though no one probably even gave a shit that you were vegan until they started seeing the shirtless you in the past decade or so.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I worked out with this, a Muay Thai, world champion coach, Jean Correa. I worked out with him for like 8 years. We used to do, he'd train me all the time. So we do that and weight training. And then later on, I'd work out with Eric, the trainer, and stuff on that. So we've always had training. At the moment, I'm just working out on my own.
But now at 35 years of vegan, I assume you miss no animal products. You're not thinking about steak or thinking about a chicken. But what about the other people in your family, your kids, your wife? Are you trying to force veganism on them? Are they all vegan or what?
Bit of both. So you've got my son Rory is a vegetarian, so he'll have like eggs and milk and stuff like that, but since birth actually. My daughter Samantha, she just turned 16, she's vegetarian since birth. Savannah and Charlotte, they're both, they're 12 and 6, and they're not, but they go in and out of it. And then my son Jackson is born into it. He just turned 3.
It's funny because I also host a health and wellness show with a guy here in New York. You probably know the company, Juice Press. They were all over the city. He founded Juice Press. I helped build that company years ago, but him and I do a podcast on health and wellness together. Although I'm not vegan, Shannon is, I do get it, you know, but I just personally just, I have too much of a addictive, unhealthy relationship with food, you know, but I don't want to give up the visceral joys I get from having a steak. I haven't been able to get there yet, but I do try.
Cool. It's totally cool. And I'm not like, everyone should eat what they want. I just couldn't do it.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. They do like looking at when I strangle a little chicken and watch its life fall out of its eyes. That makes me happy. I don't know if that's weird or anything.
I know. I like doing that. But I just
you just won't eat them after.
Yeah. Hey,
you got to draw a line somewhere, man.
Absolutely. Let someone else eat them. I'll just do that pleasure.
Yeah. You have to have your level. So the one thing I was looking at right before this interview is you guys launched, which I imagine was, and I could be wrong, COVID inspired, is leopardvault.com. I don't know if you were starting it before that or was it COVID that brought that idea about?
We were doing it before that. And actually, I remember when we done our last gig, which is in Sacramento in 2019. We were actually getting ready to launch that then. So, yeah.
Okay. And the idea, for those that don't know, it's like every piece of memorabilia, every guitar, all stage outfits, all with high quality picks and things from every part of the Def Leppard career online. It's free to log in. You just got to register, right? And you see different I guess there's some jackets and some old merch. Like I brought this out. Hang on a second. I don't know if you want to hang this in your studios, but I have my old Def Leppard jacket right there.
Please look at that. Wow.
I've only worn it once at a Def Leppard concert. Someone gave it to me as a gift, and I wore it at that show that I did that interview with you with. I didn't wear it backstage. I was a little too embarrassed, but I did wear it at the concert.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
If you want it, I'll put it in the museum. Just, you know, give me credit.
It's a museum. It's a great way to do that. And it obviously grows and grows all the time. So that jacket will look great in there.
I'm sure. I'll wait for your call. So also, by the way, the thing that you guys have another special place, maybe the best concert I've ever seen in my life, all right? When X came out, you guys, you've been a stadium band since the 80s, right? But you played Irving Plaza, which for those that don't know New York City, maybe 1,200 people fit in there, if that much. Yeah. And it was like industry people got invited and a few like radio station winners. So I got to go. And to this day, I'd never felt that much energy in a concert. I don't know if you remember that show because it is 20 years ago, but when you guys do play small venues once in a while, do you feel that it is a different energy? You can't get that in a stadium.
Right. No, it is a different. That one, particularly that one, was really great. But it can vary. You know, we played this hall in Portugal once, and there was people up the walls, and we're thinking, how did they get up there? And that again, magical and electric. But Irving Plaza was absolutely one of those gigs. So, yeah, I do remember that.
Do you remember why the idea, like how that come about? Was just because X, it was like the big not a comeback record, but that was like a big resurgence of Def Leppard when that came out. It's hard to believe it's 20 years ago now.
It is really weird. I think what happens, you know, when you release something new, that you do kind of your press and promo, and it's like, it just gets tied in with that. So wouldn't it be great if we did this? And someone suggests it. It's like three continents in a day.
Those crazy things.
That kind of thing. That was awesome as well, you know.
And you guys, I think I looked this up, are the one of like five or six bands, that's it, that have two diamond records, which is 10 million.
Yeah.
There's only six bands that have ever done that. That's pretty crazy.
It is. Considering it's like Zeppelin, the Beatles, Pink Floyd, the Eagles, and Van Halen.
Wow. I mean, wow, you named all six of those, right, pretty quickly. So this is something you're very well aware of.
Absolutely.
All right, before we go any further, these guys have been on the show forever. And why? Because it fucking works. We're talking about Blue Chew, the chewables that right away you know they work. They work twice as fast as the other guys. If you want to chew it and do it, like we always say, it's the best way to get your ding-dong in the right position. If you go to BlueChew.com, use the code SDR, you're going to get your first order for free. You're just going to pay the $5 shipping. No in-person doctor visits, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, none of that shit. And it shows up to your door in discreet packaging. And I can tell you not only firsthand, but over and over again, different people on the network will be asking me, do you got any extra chewables around? And I say, I don't, but go to BlueChew.com, use the code SDR. Just pay the $5 shipping. They'll set you up quickly with an affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. And again, the best part is because it's chewable, it happens faster. And I promise you, you're going to chew it and do it. You're going to eat it and beat it. I'm sure there's others. But anyway, right now, the only thing you need to know is go to BlueChew.com, use the code SDR. You pay the $5 shipping, and your first order is free. Thank you so much to Blue Chew for sponsoring us for so long. And you know, you want to support the people that support us. So go to BlueChew.com and get your first free order of chewables now. All right, let's get back into it.
And now, so obviously, one of those two albums is Hysteria. There was a re-release recently, because I forgot what metric you guys hit with that. If it's 30 years, 80 years, I don't know. One of those big things, right? Hysteria, known as the rock and roll version of Thriller. That was the idea. I mean, the biggest, probably, if not the biggest selling rock record in my lifetime, for sure. On that record, is there any songs that you were surprised didn't become a hit? You know what I mean? I mean, there was several songs that were, I mean, yeah, it's five singles, but was, I mean, you had to know, A, there was magic when you guys were recording that. Mutt Lang was, the synergy was right at the time. I imagine you guys, even you said you wanted to make the rock and roll Thriller. That was the idea at the time. So the question is, was there one that you all were banking on, or you thought, oh, for sure, this will be a follow-up, that never struck?
The opposite happened, actually. When we released the album, it kind of tanked. You know, we put Women out, which was like probably not the most obvious single. And the album, we didn't break even. So then we released Hysteria, and it done okay. And they were like, man, it sucks. And then Animal. And we're like, oh, my God, we're still in debt. Shit, this thing cost a fortune. And then Pour Some Sugar On Me came out. And, you know, going back to the strip club thing, this request in Florida strip clubs. the girls would dance to this song, so they'd request it on the radio. And that's really how that all came about. So it just kicked off and snowballed from that point on. But it was the opposite. It was we expected, like, Animal and Hysteria to be bigger hits, those particular songs. And they weren't. They kind of, they'd like, this is okay, I guess. And it's like, man, shit. And it was the other end. So, yeah, we can't complain regardless.
Well, of course not. Yes, James?
It's an absolute crime, because Woman might be my favorite song on the album. And the video hit a 10-year-old me so hard in the mouth, sir. Just so you know, comic books, a woman, which I've been touched for another like 15 years. And rock music, it was the best.
By the way, Phil, he's such a big fan, he called it Woman and not Women. I just like to point that out.
Wow.
What are you going to do?
That didn't go on, so I was being polite. But yeah, I could, as a boy on a skateboard, that we can let that slide. Yeah. We let that one fly.
Look, I'm not good at English. I sometimes pluralize things that aren't plural. I'm raised by people from Rochester, New York. We said Walmarts. It's just, there's no S there. And then we take it away. Look, I'm a simple person.
Walmarts? Do you still say Walmarts?
Walmarts, the Targets. But yet, my aunt worked at a place called PT's Pub, and we called it PT Pub. I mean, we're simple folks, sir. We're just simple desert and upstate New Yorkers. It's just who just happens to be in Brooklyn. So I hope I'm back on board now that I'm in Brooklyn. Come on.
Well, you talked your way out of that, James. I give you kudos.
Here's the thing. I actually wrote a short story based on that T-shirt and that video.
What?
Yeah, I've been writing shorts that are really weird, like novels, like really weird dark novels. I'll get to that later, because it's that's something else. But yeah, fuck knows.
Well, I would like to hear more about that. Why not? We don't have to wait for that. You're now delving into the world of writing poetry or stories or whatever.
Not poetry, but yeah, that'd be a bit too frou-frou for me. But
okay,
actually, not. I think I can really appreciate it. As I got older, I kind of really, really dig all kind of arts, and poetry is really cool. But yes, I've been writing stories, and the problem I have, because I barely finished school, is my grammar sucks. So I've got these great ideas and these flows and all this stuff, and these stories are brilliant and everything. And I have a real problem with my grammar. My commas, they suck, and it's like periods in the wrong places, a semicolon. It's like, what's that? So I struggle with that. I was actually going to do it on tour. I was going to do an English course so I can, you know, catch up.
I would say this, as knowing that we just had a few minutes ago, you're one of the few bands that sold two back-to-back 10 million copy records. I would imagine you could afford someone to proofread your stories before you put them out.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's embarrassing. You read it. It's not embarrassing.
Well,
it's,
you could say, hey, look, my 5-year-old son wrote this. Can you take a look at it and see how the grammar is? You could sneak it in that way.
I'll be using that one. But, you know, it's really good. I've been writing this stuff. When I finish it, I'll get it out to you. But,
that's great. Are you thinking about a book of different short stories together?
Yes, or different. I've got like five on the go.
That's great. Yeah. That's amazing. Because
So, you, I mean, you've always been a songwriter and obviously a musician. Then you started delving into production because you did do, you know, produce a Tesla record. You've been working with other bands. And now you're just looking for different artistic expressions.
No, this came out actually a couple of years ago. We were on tour. And, because I travel and read all the time, I wrote this first story, really historically accurate situations, you know, like delving back hundreds of years or whatever. And it's like, wow. And we're all these different places. We go to these incredible places. And I guess that comes in. And it's like songwriting. It's very much like songwriting, I find.
That, I guess I could see that. As someone who has very little artistic talent, I'm just going to take your word for it, sir. So is it true also, a couple of things. One, I read that you had to beg your parents for 2 years before they finally bought you a guitar. Is that true?
Yes, because I went to see Deep Purple. I was 14. My cousin took me, and it was like, wow, this is awesome. And it was Ritchie Blackmore smashing this Strat up, and I just begged my mum and dad, please. And they were broke, obviously. They're, you know, very working class, East London. And I finally got that 16-year-old, my Gibson SG, which, again, you know, pretty big deal.
And
which,
is it that Deep Purple concert? Because it's pretty cool that you little Phil Collin is on the back of a Deep Purple live made in Japan, even though it was shot in England. You're on the back of that. Is that the concert that you went to that convinced your parents to get you a guitar?
Yes. Yeah.
That's crazy. So that
Made in Japan is the album, the live album. But
And you can see you in the crowd somewhere.
You can. You go. I was like, that's me. And it's like, it's really hazy and vague, but yes.
That's pretty wild. That's such a great moment.
It is great.
And so then no one could accuse you of being a poser. You're a true rock and roll dude.
Front row.
Deep Purple concert.
Absolutely. Front row. You know, touched Ritchie Blackmore's hand. It was fantastic.
And then you proved that they're liars because they said made in Japan and it was not in Japan, that picture.
Well, that was that, yeah. After all the props and all the good stuff, that I kind of I let my heroes down. Yeah.
And then the band that a lot of people probably don't even realize you were in if they don't know your history, Girl was your first big band.
Yeah.
We just had Tracy Guns on the show not that long ago. His singer in LA Guns, Phil Lewis, was in Girl with you. He did, I think, two records with Girl.
Yeah.
Then were you courted to join Def Leppard? I read also somewhere that Iron Maiden was trying to get you in. Like, how did that process go from Girl to Def Leppard?
Well, I knew the guys in Def Leppard and Joe and Steve, and had met Mutt before. I'd been down to the rehearsal room, so we jammed together and played, and they said, can you come down? Pete Willis has gone, and can you just do some solos on the new record? I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, come down, stage fright, photograph, Rock of Ages, Falling, da-da-da. Then Mutt found out I could sing, so I'm doing vocals and everything. The next thing, we're on tour. And the Def Leppard, the Girl thing had kind of ground to a halt. You know, we got dropped by a label and the management, it wasn't going great. And everyone was like, you know, it's cool if you go on tour and stuff. And then that album was Pyromania. It exploded. So, yeah.
Was it during the tour that they made you an offer to join the band? Or were you just like a hired gun to tour? Like, how did that happen?
Well, no one knew what was going to happen. You know, that was the thing. And especially to the level that it did. So it was... It was just vague. It was like, oh, shit, we're on tour. Oh, my God, album's what? Number two? Oh, four times platinum already? What? Yeah, headline tour. It really was weird. And so, yeah, I got asked to join way later, actually.
But did anything, the solos that you were doing, made it to the album, obviously?
Absolutely,
no?
Yeah.
Yeah, so was they, any of your first round takes make it to the record or no?
My first solo was Stage Fright, the song Stage Fright. So that was the first one that got there. And then we, you know, Mutt Lange was awesome. So, you know, the photograph, we double tracked it and, you know, Rock of Ages, Falling, all of the stuff. And then it was a lead guitar player's dream because it was just like all the fun stuff without all the grunt work of all the rhythm and kind of.
You just came in and put a little spit and polish at the end.
Absolutely. It's like, go with it. Just mess this up a little bit. Yeah.
And is it also, Mutt Lange sings a lot of background vocals on the produced records, right? Is that correct?
Everything. So like, even when you hear a Shania Twain album, it's like usually that was the two of them doing all the vocals. Brian Adams, AC/DC, I hear his voice. He's just, He's amazing, actually.
That's really cool. Okay, see, now, moving to today, I watched a video. Now, you've had some other side projects over the years, Man Rays being one of them. You came on my old show for, I think there's two records for Man Rays that
are
nowhere to be found right now. I think you're re-releasing them or something in the near future. Absolutely. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you came on for both of those records. I appreciate it. But then there was this other project called Delta Deep, and I watched you do some – look, I know nothing about guitar, but watching you play – the video is called Quadrant 4.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
It seemed like a lot of high-end shit was going on, even though I don't know what I'm watching. It looked like it was a complicated thing. Is that a good assessment?
Yeah, yeah. No, that was a jazz rock fusion classic from 1973. Billy Cobham, who used to be in the Matt Bushnell Orchestra, the drummer, had the solo album that, and Tommy Bolin was the guitar player, Lee Sklar on bass, you may have seen him. And Jan Hammer on keyboards. So it was this crazy ass song. We just done a update of it because on the G3 tour with Joe Satriani and John Petrucci, my band Delta Deep, we actually opened up with that song every night. So we thought we'd get a real good version of it. So yeah,
that's pretty cool. So now with your other side projects, so Man Ray stuff is going to be re-released soon.
Yeah.
Is Delta Deep going to release more stuff? Like, what are you doing with those? Or just it's Def Leppard time now? Like, I remember Joe used to tell me on interviews that there was the Def Leppard years, and then there's the years to go do what you want to do, your other stuff. And then it's when it's Leppard, it's all Leppard.
It is. It's always Leppard anyway. It's just like if you get chance, I write and record all the time anyway. We are going to be doing some more Delta Deep stuff. I don't know how we'll package that, whether it's just me solo album type thing or whatever. But we've got other songs, we've got stuff to do. We may do a couple of shows this year, just because we're not touring.
But and now that the world it looks like the world is opening up again somewhat.
Back, yeah, and I done a thing talking about projects. I done a thing the other week with Slash. We've never played before together, which was awesome. Me / Robert DeLeo from STP, who's also in Delta Deep, and you know, between him and Craig Martini, who both play bass, and Forrest Robinson, who plays in Delta Deep. We done it's going to be released tomorrow, actually, I think, or Saturday. The Beastly Ball, which is it's for the LA Zoo. It's to, you know, kind of everyone kind of they can donate and they can do all these things. It's just like saving animals and just helping. There's so much poaching and also, so you know, animals disappearing. So we did this thing. Slash is on the board. My friend Brian Hodes does this thing. And we done this song, and it was awesome to play live again. It's incredible.
It's got to feel amazing. Let me, at this point, because like Def Leppard, for a very long time now, I would say it's fair, it goes out every other year. Is that about right, usually? Like the touring, something like that, maybe every couple of years, 3 years, well, whatever it is.
It's every year in the States. Or every other year, because we do other stuff as well.
Right. So at this point, because I imagine pick and choose the bands that you go out with. Is there a band that you've always wanted Def Leppard to tour with that for whatever fucking reason the stars hadn't aligned yet?
I'm really excited about this thing that we're doing with Motley. The fact that they come back after the touring, it's all the original members, which is a big deal. Poison is all the original members. We obviously, you know, Vivian's been in the band 30 something years, and I've been here, you know, it's pretty much original, and Joan Jett. So I think it's almost like a festival on tour. It's pretty amazing. So I'm really excited about that. I was excited when it first got announced, really excited now. And I think, you know, everyone's kind of just, it was a pause button. So we're up and running, hopefully. So yeah.
Had you done shows with Motley in the past? Never?
We have. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
When you guys were both the two biggest bands in the world, was there ever tension or rivalry, or has everybody loved each other in the 80s?
Oh, yeah. I remember playing with Motley. I remember going on stage with them in Paris, actually, just hanging out and, just going on stage and having a blast.
It's funny. Because you guys somehow, look, I mean, there was stories of debauchery, and you and Steve were known as the Terror Twins when Steve was around, and there was obviously a lot of partying back then, but never really, that to my memory, unless I blocked it out, you guys were never associated with any like fucked up controversies or anything bad. You guys were always seemed to be just really liked as people. I mean, I've
I can't say that I'm friends with you guys, but I met you both, a few of you guys, enough times to know you. You seem like genuinely good dudes. Was there ever a situation you guys were in that you're like, oh, wow, that's going to be in the fucking news tomorrow, or I hope that doesn't get really, like, anything bad that, thank God, wasn't worse than it could have been?
I'm sure there was, but no, we kind of got through pretty unscathed, I got to say, you know.
Yeah, because you heard stories about when you guys were doing In the Round. That was a pretty debaucherous time. You had the biggest.
It wasn't really. But, you know, you'd have a photo with someone. It wasn't like everyone's going, no, they're not orgy under there. It's like, yeah, I wish. There's nothing like that. No, it's like,
I heard in the behind the scene, in the behind the music, there was orgies. Are you telling me that TV lies to me?
Great song.
How dare you, Phil?
I'm very heartbroken about this. Are you going to tell me about December 25th that there's not a big fat man? What's going on? Stop ruining all my childhood, you guys.
Here's one for you. So do you hear about this guy up in Toronto, the Santa? He was killing Filipino men, having sex with them, killing them, and burying them in a garden. This woman came home, she was sharing this garden with this guy, and they're like, oh, you can't come in. It's like, what? Well, we've got 8 dead bodies. Santa Claus, the mall Santa Claus, has been killing these guys, having sex, killing them, and burying them in your garden.
It seems a little bit better than if it was killing them, then having sex with them, then burying them.
Well, I'm being nice. I think he may have actually done that as well. You know,
this is a story that just broke in Canada?
About a month, 2 months ago. Yeah.
Wow. Pretty weird.
Yeah. Just outside Toronto.
You can't trust the mall Santa. That's, I think, the thing you need to remember.
Well, it put it into a weird perspective. You know, I've always thought that was a little odd personally, you know. And my kids, you know, whenever they go, it's like sitting on this old dude's lap. It's like you tell them not to go near strangers and then go sit on this stranger's lap. And this guy's killing people, you know.
By the way, it's a good lesson for pedophiles. Dress up like Santa. Very simple idea.
I think they've been doing that, Ralph. I think that's the problem. I think they got that memo before you even sent the goddamn thing.
Probably a good idea. All right, it is July 4th weekend as we are recording this episode, and I don't think there's a better way to celebrate your freedom than to go to YoKratom.com and get yourself a $60 kilo of Kratom, the world's best value in Kratom. By the way, I heard from the owner directly, like he knows I got the best deals in the countries, and it's just that simple. I know I do, and that's why the company does so well. And I'm like, yeah, that's what people say over and over again. It is high-quality Kratom. It is wholesale prices, and we've heard back time and time again from fans. It's solid. It's quick. It's great quality. So if you're a fan of Kratom and you want to get great prices, go to YoKratom.com. It's home of the $60 kilo. What else do you need to know? Sometimes it's $100, $150 or more, and it's crappy quality at a gas station or a bodega. You're going directly from wholesale to you with YoKratom.com. Once again, it is YoKratom.com. Yo, Kratom, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it.
Now, I was watching your 30-day challenge from right at the beginning of COVID, where you're getting back into shape, and you allowed yourself to gain some weight, and then you bulk up, you take it off, as was the plan. And you said you use a phone app to count calories, right?
I do now. See, I couldn't get it all off. I mean, I got up to like 163, which is really big for me. And
how tall are you?
5'7".
Okay.
So I got down to 153, and then I just said, you know what, fuck this. I'm the same height as Bruce Lee, and he's 140, so I'm going to try and do that. So I got this app.
I think he's a lot lighter now, but continue.
Yeah, he is. So I done this thing. It's called Fujicake, and you just limit your calorie. You give it a date, and you know, working out 6 days a week and not killing myself, actually, is the other thing. And now I'm 140, and I feel great. So
Do you have the six pack again yet, or no?
More so, but
yeah, really. Let's see that. Oh, Jesus Christ!
Holy shit!
Yeah.
I didn't know a He-Man just came to life. Holy shit!
That's crazy. Oh, that hurts. You know what? I know you're probably have a lot of money, I would imagine. There's not any amount of money right now that you could give me where I'm standing up and pulling up my shirt. It is not happening. No matter what, I started an app. It's called Lose It, which is the same principle.
Yeah.
Because I had gotten very heavy. My father passed away. I gained a lot of weight. I was depressed. I'm 6'5", 6'6", in that area.
Wow. Yeah.
My whole life, I was about 235, 240, and always could have stood to lose 10 pounds or something. But I ballooned up to over 300. Shannon, when it was like 310 when I sent you that video, that image, right? Is that what it was? When
we were doing our,
yeah.
I feel like I remember 290 or 290-ish. Yeah,
something
I remember
like that.
That.
I was got wow. fat, right? So then I started running. I started eating right. And I was always, before this whole thing, I was relatively healthy. So now I'm down to 257, something like that. So down from 300.
That's cool.
And I still got 20 pounds to go. But I'm, you know, I think a pound a week is a reasonable goal.
That's what I was doing. It was a pound a week, and that worked great. And I think, you know, you just it's you eat the amount compared to your activity level. So if you want to spend 4 hours, I'd do 45 minutes every day, and that involved kickboxing drills, weights, different body parts, whatever, abs every day, and then that works. If you want to, obviously, yeah, you have to either eat less or raise the activity.
Right. And by the way, no shit, abs every day. After what we just saw, we get it, abs every day.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Thank you.
Just because he brought it up, I'm showing this to him. I'm sorry, everybody. You've all seen this before, but I put out a book about weight loss. It's called The 100% Guaranteed Guide to Weight Loss and Fitness, right? And it went to number 77 in Amazon. Chapter 1 says eat less. Chapter 2 says work out more, and the rest of the book is blank.
Fantastic. I love it. Well, that's it.
When I send you my Def Leppard jacket for the museum, I'll send you a copy of my book.
Please do. Yes. Yeah. Now that's it in a nutshell, right there.
Yeah, it really is. There's no mystery. That's what it is. You know, of course, when you want to look like you with sculpted, beautiful abs, then maybe there's some more nuance to it. But for most of us, we just need to lose weight.
But even with that, honestly, I don't kill myself. It's like, you know, it's like leg raises, your knees have to come up to your chin type thing, 10, 15, 20, 25 sometimes, and just put that in your routine. It's not crazy. It's not like you see, you know, stuff that Bruce Lee was doing or Stallone or The Rock when they're getting ready. None of that stuff.
Right. Fair enough. And also, is it the last couple of things before we wrap up? I know that, is it true that you are colorblind?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, that's weird. I don't know how I never knew that before. Does that is that a genetic thing that you pass on to kids? Is that just a weird anomaly?
I have no idea, actually. I don't think so. I had no idea I was colorblind until I was drawing something when I was a kid, and they're like, what's that? I said, a mountain. And what's that? I said, grass. And they said, yeah, but that's red. I said, oh, okay. So, and I failed those tests.
Wow, who knew? I didn't know that. It's pretty wild.
It's green, brown, and shades of, you know. Sometimes I'm good with it, but yeah.
All right, and then last question before we wrap this here for me, unless James, I feel like I've been talking the whole time. We have a couple of questions.
I'll spit a few things. I just want to say this. I've been trying to be as cool as can be. The first video I ever saw was Photograph, or as I like to call it, Photographs. And it was at my aunt's house because we were poor and we didn't have cable till like later. And they're like, hey, where the adults are going to talk, go in there. And that video came on. And I still get emotional. I'd say at least 2 to 5 times a year, I go home drunk from doing shows, and I'll have a tear. I'll listen to Photograph on the train to Brooklyn. I just want you to know that song always got me, man.
Do you mean the Photographs? Do you mean the Photographs? That's what you
Photographs. Said? Yeah, man, from Hysterias. I'm going to run this gimmick to the ground, okay?
By the way, isn't it true Photograph was the first concept video? Like the first one that had like a very loose story. Back before then on MTV, videos didn't really have any stories. And I think you guys, it wasn't really much of a story, but it was like a little more than just a live performance. Is that correct?
Loosely based on the story. I think some of the other early ones did, you know, even Queen, going back to that, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody had a bit more of a concept. I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Is there a name for the last album was self-titled. Is there a name yet you guys are knocking around for the next one?
Yeah, Def Leppard's.
That's where it is.
Keep it in the, you know.
Keep it in the pocket, yeah.
I mean,
and
that
you
warms
did a residency. You guys did a residency in Vegas. Did you enjoy that? It was like being in the same place every day instead of doing the tours all the time?
I loved it, actually. I found it harder to do that. It was exhausting, and whenever we've done that before, for whatever reason, it's more exhausting. Just
really
in a casino in that environment, like when you can't really go out much. It was like 110 degrees the whole time. I mean, I still go out, but it's like Jesus fucking baking. And I think that with touring, you get fresh air, you go out, and it's different. But I loved it. I really did. I liked the idea of doing both. Really getting touring and doing something like that. It was awesome.
I often hear from guys that like you who tour all the time, you've been to every corner of the earth, but you really don't see those cities because you're there working. So do you ever, do you feel a connection to any other city besides, obviously, you're from the UK, you came here. So but other than those two countries, do you feel a connection to any other countries that you loved?
Absolutely. I mean, I love New Zealand. I've got a house in on the South Island, but you know, I'd rare to see, and they're not letting us in there at the moment. So, I think, you know, I make a point, like if we're in Rio, I'll be up at 6 a.m. It's like, I'll be in the sea. I mean, I go swimming in the sea and stuff all the time. Actually, I don't go too far, especially with the shark thing lately. That's been weird.
Do you try and get the other people, not only in Def Leppard, but the opening bands that come on tour with you, to get healthy?
Only if they want to. I found that you can lead by example, but you can't really force anyone to do anything. So if someone says, shit, man, this is great, can I join this little club or whatever? We actually work out on tour. Like in Vegas, we would work out in the morning. We'd go down and have a coffee, go into the back of the where the stage is, and we would do a workout, a bunch of us, and that was great.
So is it fair to assume that you didn't give up coffee? Because you said you were going to do that in one of your videos.
I did, and I gave up coffee for a while, and then when I done the Fugicate thing, I started drinking again, and it didn't make any difference. I still lost the weight, so that one went out the window, and I can keep my addiction.
All right, so you felt like, and I'm sorry to get it, because I'm fascinating about health lately, because I'm trying. So did you feel that the stimulant in coffee was somehow affecting your weight loss, or is it because you put sugar and cream or something in it?
Well, I don't put sugar and cream.
Okay, but cream,
I do have like soy milk in it.
I meant like a soy milk or an almond milk, but whatever.
It fucks with my sleeping. I fall asleep straight away, but then I wake up every now and again, and that's what happens with coffee if I have it too late or too much of it. But that it's all right. It's my only vice, and so I.
When's the last time you had a drink or any sort
32
of?
32 years ago. Wow.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah,
do you remember the catalyst of that day? Was it a really bad day?
I was in Paris. It was my girlfriend Liz at the time. It was her birthday, and we were going to India the next day. It was 87, and it was just before Hysteria came out, and we had a little break before we started rehearsals. So I said, I'm not going to drink after this. So we had a glass of champagne each, and then I didn't drink the whole bottle, which was kind of rare. So we did that. We went off, and that was it. So that was really cool.
That's cool. Just it was that easy.
Before I tried a few times before, and it wasn't so easy, and I was getting really fucked up. And then Steve couldn't stop. Steve Clark, you know, my drinking buddy, and I just saw it getting dangerous, and I saw what was happening with him. So yeah, and I just kept going with it, and just felt great. That's the other thing. I'd got more hours in the day, 2 more hours.
That's a big difference. From not drinking, you gain 2 hours in your day. It's a pretty amazing thing.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
All right, let me ask his last question, then we'll do the first. At this point, I think Def Leppard has 11 records, 13 records, whatever. I don't know how many actual studio records. Let's just say somewhere in that area. I imagine when you guys get together and it's set list time.
Yeah.
That there is a fight or a discussion, however you want to put it. How do you guys, is it everybody gets a couple songs? How do you figure out what's going in on the set list at this point with so much under the belt of Def Leppard?
So we always have to be mindful. We have a new record and you have to do 1 or 2 songs. If you do more than 2 songs, everyone's going to go, what the fuck's it? I don't want to hear this. I want to hear Photographs or Pour Some Sugars and stuff like that, right? So you give it a little, you go, okay, we'll indulge ourselves by putting this song in it, but you can only do a few. So you have it's a finite amount of space, you know, that you put this stuff in. So sometimes we'll go, you know what, we're going to do a deep cut, fuck it. And we do, we'll put in Die Hard the Hunter or Women or something like that. But for most part, if you do an hour and a half set, you've got to please the audience. Yeah. I'd be really bummed if I saw Prince or the Stones or whoever, and they didn't do that. Yeah. Not Prince so much, because he used to it turn it around and do just amazing stuff. But yeah, the Stones have to do that. And when Keith does a song or they do a new song, everyone goes out and buys
it. Right. If any band had balls, they would name a song "Time to Go to the Bathroom" on a new record.
Well, we may do that, but we leave it up to Rick Savage. Everyone has these little, chores that are assigned them, and we don't really, they're not official, but they kind of, so we he just does it, and it's go, he'll go, well guys, what do you think of that? And some go, well, it'd be great if we could in this space do it's pretty democratic.
That's
pretty
nice. Cool. And then I know you guys are releasing a new volume 3 box set. Can we elaborate on that a little bit? Wow,
yeah,
look how pretty that is. So what's in there exactly?
Nice. So it's got these albums. It's got the X album, the Yeah album, Sparkle Lounge, and it's got B-sides and Yeah 2. Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, was a album of covers.
Right.
We didn't do the obvious ones, but over the years, we've done all these other covers. So they're on here and different versions of it. It's like got me singing Roxanne, you know, the Police song. Police are my favorite band. It's got all these bonus tracks, you know, and it's like, wow, I forgot we did that.
Are some of them never been on an album before? Or right. Even like, so they're things that you guys had recorded, maybe it was live or whatever, and it was sitting around, let's make something special here.
Yeah, and some of them are, yeah, they're not even live stuff. Some of them were meant for something and they never saw the light of day. So this is all coming out here, which is amazing for us. Yeah.
That's great. You guys did... It was I'm sure it was an illegal bootleg that I had, so I don't mind telling you that. But it was acoustic versions, and then they were covers and some originals that you did acoustic of. Like, to this day, one of my favorites, it was an acoustic version of a Def Leppard song of Tonight that you did acoustic.
Oh, yeah.
And then you did Ziggy Stardust. You did a lot of – I have this thing, and I've never seen it again anywhere, and I keep it because I don't even know where you'd get it now, but it was an illegal boot of – but they were all – soundboard or studio recording. So things like that are so rare. So it's great that you guys are doing that. Is it on defleppard.com? Where do we get that? At Leppard Vault? Where
you should be able to get it anyway. Should be like Amazon or whoever, really. Best
Buy. I don't think it's hard to find Def Leppard stuff these days, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it?
I don't think so. I think it's pretty easy. Except for this, because there's only 8 of them in the world. That's what I was told.
All right.
8 of these. So well, thank
got,
you.
I got one of them. So, you know. But, yeah.
I would imagine that, imagine you heard it fall and shatter. I would imagine the band has them each. So that's 5 of them. And I got one. So somebody else has the other. That's how I'm going to look at it.
If I pulled one out right now, I'd be the best. What if I've been hiding it the whole time, Ralph? And I'm like, you ain't shit, dog. And what if I pulled out 2 of them right now?
That'd be cool. I had my diamond award for Pyromane, for Hysteria. Did fall to the floor and shatter. And I finally got another one recently, actually. This was about 10 years ago. I'm like, fuck, my son was, him and his buddy were being stupid wrestling. And they knocked this thing over and it went, and I'm going, fuck, you guys, come on.
Jesus like, Christ.
Smashed up. But yeah.
I know you keep a lot of your older like equipment, but do you keep memorabilia as well?
Not really. I mean, I don't really have... I've got stuff floating around.
The house on fire? Grab this thing. Not assuming all your kids and your wife, the family is safe.
Yeah.
The thing you would grab, is there one of those in the house?
Guitars, and guitars. I'd probably be 2 guitars. Yeah, two of them. And I'd be going.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Jenna, we got to hit the first, and then we'll wrap up with this man.
The first time ever I saw.
All right, so the name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Right.
We ask every single guest on the show ever the same question, which is your first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll and ask you the first concert you went to that we're going to know the band.
Right. Well, it's Deep Purple. It was that very thing.
That was the actual first concert ever.
Yeah, at the Brixton Sundown, which eventually became the Brixton Academy, which... we've played there before, Def Leppard, and it was like, yeah, weird.
And is that I mean, it already at that point, you've been asking, you had asked your parents for a couple of years to play guitar.
Oh,
you,
fuck yeah.
So you already knew that you wanted to do that, and that just solidified it further.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to do. Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
How many other rock stars you think not only got to go to a band concert, but got their picture on the album cover forever solidified? I mean, who else could say that? That's crazy.
No one. I don't know anyone. That's pretty cool. When you put it like that.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. All right, now the first drug you ever did after pot, unless pot was the worst drug you ever did, or not the first drug you ever did.
Pot wasn't the first drug.
Okay, great. What was the first?
I used to have asthma, so smoke really gets on me. But I've had the old toke on stuff over the years, but not in the last 30 odd years. So
what was the first drug you ever did?
It was a line of coke, and it was late, and it was like I was 21 or something. And it was when I was in girl, that was fairly debauched. There was a lot of stuff going on, way more than with Def Leppard. Actually, when we started getting, number one albums, platinum albums, I thought, fuck, this is going to be crazy. Nowhere near what as debauched.
A girl was much, and it's funny because to this day, LA Gun shows when Phil and Tracy together, up until the last show I saw, it always has tons of women going crazy. There's not necessarily them, but there's too many drugs and drinking going on. It was always LA Guns brought out debauchery. Phil, I guess, Phil was a debaucherous, brought out the debauchery in women.
And it's weird. It's like, with people just by association, they do that. You know, if the Stones are, or back in the 70s or 80s, if the Stones were around, people would act a certain way. It's really bizarre. So that was a bit like that with Girl. You know, we used to, lots of girls would be coming to the shows, be it at the Marquee Club in London or Japan. We toured Japan and it was great. You know, it's a different thing, but association. It's all about the context.
And one of the dudes from Girl is in Man Rays with you. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I'm
pretty
an athlete,
cool.
Yeah.
So you stayed friends.
Really weird? I was looking at this thing and his picture is right in the middle there.
Did you do that on purpose to pay it back? Because you did that for someone else. Someone did it to you. Now you put him in a picture?
Well, I think you're right, but I may give this to him and say, look, right. Don't say I don't do anything for you.
And now the first time you had sex?
15. So just, and there was a few guys and these girls.
Oh, say no more. Just you and a few guys. Got it.
Breaking news.
Yeah, there's more to it than that.
Continue. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. Continue.
15, it's like, fuck, you've got to get your end away before you're 16. So me, Mickey Razor, and Stephen Ray. I probably shouldn't throw him under the bus. We were kids. So we got this girl.
Oh, some local girl did everyone a favor?
Yeah.
So it was no romance at all. It was just, we got to do this. We're getting old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got news for you, though. From my perspective, 17 has been the norm. So 15 is way younger than most. So I don't know why you guys were putting so much pressure on yourselves.
Oh, no. London, you see, we had this thing. So,
Oh, London's full of whores.
I guess so. Jack the Ripper times and all that stuff. Yeah, especially East London, for sure.
Fair enough. All right, so leopardvault.com for that online museum that I think may eventually travel with you guys some of those pieces, right?
I think so. Yeah, I'd like that. And we got so much stuff there that would be really cool.
Right. And then obviously the Vault 3, Volume 3 is available on Amazon, anywhere you want to buy it. I mean, at The Real Phil Collin on Instagram, if you want to go be inspired by a six-pack and try and eat healthy and feel better about yourself. Am I forgetting anything else to plug?
Just the video, Quadrant 4 thing, you just come out. The Beastly Ball, which drops tomorrow with Slash, and then Chaka Khan and Black Girls Rock TV, which comes out at the end of this month.
All right, awesome. And now we'll go around. James, your plugs, please.
D. James Madden on Instagrams. I'll have my, wherever I'm playing in the city or on the road is there. And my projects, including the Peanut Allergy single. Check that out in your comedy club session. Me and a band, me screaming about my peanut allergy. Phil, everyone here kind of hates it, but whatever, man. I'm going to plug along and check out the Commissioner Comedy Podcast and look for my new comedy album, Check Spot, where I'm performing while people pay their bills, doing a question and answer. This is an absolute, my heart's been fluttering the whole time. I never thought, I don't get starstruck, and this is an absolute treat. This,
I don't get
fucking
it,
Leopard.
James.
I'm going to listen
James.
To Rocket all night. That's the only
James,
thing I'm going to listen to.
You see me every week, James. Why are you so excited? We see each other.
You didn't put out Rocket. You didn't have that video teaching me about soccer and glam rock as a 9 or 10-year-old in fucking Vegas. God damn it.
Shannon, your plugs, and we'll wrap it up.
You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is. Dang, we talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
All right, and I try to make this guess.
I'll save that for another time.
You believe in ghosts? You do believe in ghosts.
Quite a real experience.
Wait, don't tell the story, though. You should do Shannon's show and tell the story on Shannon's show.
I feel like the chances of him coming on my show are very slim to none, so I would love to hear it here than not hear it at all.
All right, let's tell the story, Phil.
You're a fellow vegan, Shannon.
Fellow vegan, but everything. Tell the story, Phil, if you don't mind. If you have a few minutes, tell the story, please.
All right, and so I was in New Orleans, and my daughter's mum, Camila, we went on a tour of like the ghost sites and all this stuff. And we finished and then it's like, well, you know, this lady goes, I'm a voodoo priestess and all that. And I'm like, yeah, here we go. Do you like to see the inside of, I've got a shrine. I'm like, fuck, this is bullshit. But we'll go. This tour has been great. Found out a lot about New Orleans and everything. So I went in and she had these, you know, the rods.
Dowsing rods. I have them. Yep.
So that goes in. She said, okay, if you want to go, there's some activity in this house. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Tell me where to go. So I'm holding these two things, you know. And she said, go up the stairs. So no one else comes with me. So I'm the only one. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm talking to the air. I'm going, anyone there? And it's like, I forget whether that meant yes or that meant yes. But one, it said yes. And I'm like, wow, okay, all right. But I said, I don't know how they're doing this. I don't know how this is working. But I finished this and it led me to these different rooms. And I'm talking to this person. I said, are you a girl? And it's like, yes, are you okay? It's like, no. And it's like, oh, fucking weird. I'm walking down the stairs and the sharpest pain just hit me right there. But just there, like real weird. I thought, someone shooting a fucking laser in my hand. I mean, obviously, you kind of dispel it. And then Camila just went, ah, fuck. I'm like, so she reacted to my pain of coming down the stairs. And we're like, well, what happened here? What's going on? And how'd you do that? How did you do that? And apparently there was this, a soldier had come back from Iraq. Him and his girlfriend lived in this house. And I looked it all up later on. And there was a whole thing. There was a TV show on it, a documentary. And he'd killed her. He had PTSD. They'd been really fucked up. He killed her, chopped her arms and legs off, cut her head off, boiled it in the kitchen where I was at, boiled the head in the kitchen, put the torso and the limbs in the fridge and all this stuff, and sat around going fucking batshit crazy for the next week until he got drunk, went on the roof, and toppled over backwards and committed suicide. And all of this was in the thing. And so there was this energy and there was this just weird stuff. But the thing you couldn't deny was this pain thing and the reaction. So that I couldn't figure out. So if you could
from that point forward, did you become a believer in the afterlife and ghosts and stuff?
I'm open to anything. I'm totally open to anything. I always look for UFOs and, oh, here he is, UFOs and stuff.
Oh,
like
how
that.
Cute.
Here's Jackson.
Oh, my God, how cute. Jackson. Jesus. That's wild. Hi there, little Jackson.
And so, yeah, so it's so whatever. If it comes up, great. If someone can explain it, great. If not, and yeah, I've had other weird experiences. I was in a hotel in India, got a really weird vibe, which I don't usually get. You know, sometimes you get funny vibes, but yeah, this particular one.
Well, that's what I always say, by the way, that there's an undeniable feeling. And I would use to go back to the top of the show, then we'll wrap. When I walked into the Irving Plaza and you guys were there, you didn't even need to know what was going on. There is an energy in the room that you feel, wow, something is different tonight. And you can't explain why. It just is a feeling. So if you could get that with a good feeling, I've had that with bad feelings. You walk in a room sometimes and you know someone just had an argument with someone. You can feel it. So there is more to be understood. That's just simple.
Definitely. I agree with that. So I'm open for anything. Yeah, I believe. I don't believe. I'm both. All
right, so follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast, Good Sugar Podcast, about health and wellness, comes out every single Monday. We add a song to our playlist every week. On the vault, there is a cover of Rebel Rebel that's available on Spotify. So I'm going to throw that in right now to the playlist because it's nice to hear that. I was looking for the Roxanne cover. I couldn't find it because I guess you got to buy the thing to hear the Roxanne one. Oh. So it wasn't on Spotify, but that'd be good because I know, as you said, The Police are your favorite band. And Phil, even if you didn't really remember me, you did a good job in making me feel that you did. So I appreciate it. And we'll see everyone next week on the STR show.